Today's reading is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything that I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Afterwards, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the fish gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. The other events of Manasseh's reign, including his prayer to his God and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are written in the annals of the king of Israel. His prayer and how God was moved by his entreaty, as well as all his sins and his unfaithfulness, and the sites where he built high places and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself, all these are written in the records of the seers. Manasseh rested with his ancestors and was buried in his palace, and Amon his son succeeded him as king.
Maybe it shouldn't be a surprise, but since lockdown, many people have engaged with faith, some for the first time in years. One survey showed that 24% of UK adults have listened to or watched a religious service since February. And as people have pondered the big questions of life, many Christians have been able to speak of the hope that they have in the Lord Jesus, of the love and forgiveness and security that God offers through him, some speaking of him for the first time in years. Now that's wonderful, but it's not you. Actually, today you're discouraged. Because during lockdown, many of your friends and family weren't interested in Jesus. They didn't want to speak of him. And those that did don't trust him. And you're wondering, why bother? Maybe today you're discouraged with yourself. As you look back over the summer, your walk with God has been pretty half-hearted, pretty inconsistent. That summer camp or conference that you usually go on that gives you a boost to your spiritual life, you weren't able to attend. You've made peace with the sin in your life, and you're wondering, can I draw a line in the sand and make a fresh start? Or maybe you're struggling because of past failures. You live with the consequences of yesterday's mistakes. Regrets still haunt you and you feel of little value to God. And you're wondering, can God still work through me and in me? Well, if that's you, our story from 2 Chronicles chapter 33 is for you. In fact, it's for all of us because we all struggle with sin in our own lives and in the lives of others. And it's also a story for us because it's a story of God's grace, of how he intervened dramatically in the life of the most unlikely man. And God's grace gives us hope. Hope today. Hope to witness for God. To walk with God. Hope for our world in God. This most unlikely man was King Manasseh. And we're going to look at his story in two parts. So part one, the dark paths of sin. Last week we met Hezekiah, one of Judah's great kings. But Manasseh was the polar opposite of his father Hezekiah. Yes, he was politically successful. He reigned for 55 years. But he was a wicked king for many of those years. And our writer emphasizes that point. Verse 2, he did evil. Verse 6, he did much evil. Verse 9, he led Judah as they did more evil. Deliberately and defiantly, Manasseh led the nation down the dark paths of sin. He reversed all of Hezekiah's religious reforms. He built up again those pagan altars that Hezekiah had demolished. He made Judah just like the nations around them, adopting their gods. And he followed the detestable practices of the nations that God had driven out of the land before he established Judah, including the horrific practice of sacrificing his own children in the fire. And he trashed God's temple, the temple that symbolized God's presence with his people, he filled with idols. The temple where the people could pray to God, he prayed to the stars. The temple where God's word was taught, he rejected God's law and consulted mediums instead. And twice our writer tells us that the temple was where God had put his name. In other words, the temple belonged to him. This land and this people belonged to him. But Manasseh did everything he could to reject God's lordship, to erase his name, to rebel against his sovereignty. And instead, he tried to control and manipulate the gods to do what he wanted to do. Manasseh was a byword for evil. And once we've heard what he's done, we're expecting God's justice to fall. We're expecting God to expel him from the land. After all, that's what he did to those other wicked nations, and Manasseh has become just like them. But let's pause there. Manasseh is extreme. The Old Testament chief of sinners. And while sometimes our children annoy us, we're never going to throw them in the fire. Nor do we spend Saturday mornings in home base looking for Asherah poles. But let's not be too quick to exonerate ourselves. For God's people, the church, at times, have gone down the dark paths of sin. It's in danger of losing its distinctiveness and forgetting the better story of the gospel. The church has its idols too, often looking for affirmation and status and security from our wider culture, or only really speaking out on issues that have a low reputational risk. Or with race and class. For too long the church has allowed racism and prejudice to fester, to not really probe its blind spots, to be too content to reach out to those like it. Too often it hasn't spoken about or lived out the diverse, welcoming community that it should be in the Lord Jesus. And us as individuals, we may look lovely on the outside, but during lockdown or at home or on the internet, we often wander down the dark paths of sin. Or with our children, we sacrifice them for the sake of our careers, our convenience, or so that we can join a particular social group. Yes, Manasseh is extreme, but sin lurks in all of us, in the church as a body, and in its members. We all go down the dark paths of sin. And yet, there's hope. There's hope in this story. It's glimmering there in verses 4 and 7. God promised that in the temple, his name would remain there forever. The eternal God will keep his promise to the nation. This wicked man can do his worst, but he will not destroy God's covenant. And yet, what of the man himself? Surely, there's no hope for Manasseh. Well, part two of the story. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. The second part of the story is remarkable. It comes out of the blue. There's no account of it in the parallel story of King Manasseh in 2 Kings chapter 21. And even when God gives him another chance, he pays no attention to God's appeal. And so God's justice falls. Verse 11. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. He's humiliated, shackled, deported. End of story. Manasseh rots in a Babylonian prison cell. God is vindicated. And yet, even though Manasseh is physically and spiritually far away from God's presence, what does he do? In his distress, he sought the favour of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors, and he prayed to him. And we hear that and we're cynical. Come on, God, don't fall for it. You know what will happen. He will get out and he will return to his wicked ways. Or we're angry. Really, Manasseh? How can you do such a thing? The audacity of this wicked man. And yet, how does God respond? And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Lord, what are you doing? Well, actually, he's doing what he said he would do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, probably the most famous verse in the whole book, God promised, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Here's the way back to God. Baal and Asherah and the stars weren't listening or moved, but the Lord was. He delights to show grace to sinners. He loves being merciful to the guilty. The most rebellious, the most far gone, the most wicked is not beyond the reach of God's grace. Don't we see that elsewhere in the Bible? The prodigal son in Jesus' parable, the thief on the cross hanging there beside Jesus, Paul on the Damascus road going off to persecute Jesus' church. And what does God do? Manasseh was on the highway to hell, but he took the low road to God. He sought God's face. He humbled himself greatly and he prayed. And God radically intervened in his life. In his grace, he transformed him. He reversed his punishment. He replaced his hook and shackles with his throne and crown. And God revealed himself to the king. Manasseh knew his God. God as his sovereign king and as his gracious rescuer. And the rest of his reign demonstrated his change. As he began a city rebuilding campaign and a temple purifying program, Manasseh gives us hope. He shows us the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. Actually, that line is from an old chorus. It goes like this. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Manasseh didn't know of the cross of Jesus, but the New Testament tells us what it cost God to be moved by such prayers and to forgive such sins. At the cross, God's justice and mercy met. He didn't turn a blind eye to Manasseh's sin, and he doesn't to ours. But on the cross, Jesus bore the punishment for our sins, and so he offers us full forgiveness. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, if you take the Manasseh road to God, the only road to him, the one of humility and repentance and prayer, God's amazing grace will transform you. And maybe you know you need to take this road for the first time. Please take it. There is no one beyond the reach of God's grace. And so that gives us hope in our walk with God. Maybe your past casts shadows over your present, and you shudder at the dark paths you've walked. And yet, as you've turned to God, he has forgiven your sin. And as you humbly pray to him, he will give you fresh grace, the grace you need to live for him and to serve him. Maybe your Christian life feels like a car that keeps stalling. You love the Lord. He answers your prayers. You serve his people. And then you go and blow it with a colleague, or you're selfish towards your family. You feel you go forward and then stop. You go forward and then stop. And you're frustrated and weary. The God who is gracious to Manasseh will also be gracious to you. As you humbly pray to him, confessing your sins and calling out for his mercy, he's listening and moved, and he will supply you with the grace you need to go forward with him. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And that gives us hope in our witness for God. Some of our friends and neighbours and family and children seem so far from God. They pay him no attention. They're away from him and have been for such a long time. Please don't give up praying for them and speaking to them and living before them. No one is beyond God's reach. If he can change a Manasseh, what might he do for those you love? And there's also hope for our world in God. God's people are meant to be a light to the world, illuminating who God is. That light was dimmed under Manasseh, but God intervened and the light brightened. Our world is lost in the dark paths of sin, struggling, at least on social media, to forgive those who have done wrong and are guilty. But the church can offer hope. As a community who has experienced God's transforming grace, we can act as a light, showing our world the path to follow to a gracious God who restores and forgives and changes. With such a God, the God of Manasseh, there's always a way from the dark paths of sin.